Picture a 19-year-old mopping hospital floors at midnight, wearing a janitor's uniform and a capped front tooth, invisible to doctors who brush past without acknowledgement. This was Kevin Lehman, rejected by over 160 colleges, kicked out of the one that finally admitted him, known as the class clown who once drove a peacher from the classroom. Yet, tucked in his Bible were six verses his mother had written, Proverbs 3:1-6. He didn't know it then, but those ancient words would become his roadmap from janitor to renowned psychologist and best-selling author. What makes a passage written thousands of years ago powerful enough to transform a directionless teenager into someone whose wisdom now guides business leaders worldwide? The answer lies not in complex theology, but in timeless principles that cut through life's noise with startling clarity. Life's most transformative lessons arrive disguised as setbacks. Mrs. Nordstrom saw beyond Lehman's antics, suggesting he channel that energy positively. The message didn't land until senior year, when classmates announced ambitious college plans while he realized he'd squandered precious time. Night shifts mopping hospital floors delivered profound humility. Doctors stepped over his mop without a glance. Nurses averted their eyes. This daily invisibility taught lessons about human dignity no textbook could provide. Yet, grace appeared unexpectedly. He met Sanday, a gorgeous young nurse, while mopping the men's room. "You know that, janitor?" the head nurse warned Sanday with disdain. "He'll never amount to anything." Those dismissive words became rocket fuel. Two people maintained unwavering faith: his mother, who sacrificed everything for his education, and Sanday, who saw beyond current circumstances. Their steadfast belief sustained him through darkness and sparked his spiritual awakening. There's a profound difference between knowing about someone and knowing them personally. Jesus understood this when he appeared to his disciples after resurrection. Thomas declared he wouldn't believe unless he could touch Jesus' wounds. He received exactly that evidence. This pattern continues today. God leaves fingerprints throughout creation: breathtaking sunsets, mathematical patterns in pine cones, the golden ratio in shells. Earth hangs at precisely the right angle for life. The moon sits at the perfect distance to create life-sustaining tides. From the peculiar platypus to the kookaburra's distinctive laugh, nature reveals both attention to detail and a sense of humor. What prevents this knowledge from transforming us? We compartmentalize faith, keeping it separate from decisions, relationships, and priorities. Like someone who studies nutrition but never changes eating habits, we accumulate information without application. True transformation happens when knowledge moves from head to heart, when intellectual understanding becomes personal relationship. When we truly encounter the divine, priorities shift, perspectives broaden, and responses to life's challenges fundamentally change. Many view God as a stern judge waiting to punish every misstep, the cosmic killjoy who never wants us to have fun. This misperception creates unnecessary stress and prevents authentic relationship. Research shows faith-centered lives produce better health outcomes, with faithful marriages and positive attitudes reducing stress and extending lifespans. Much stress comes from trying to control circumstances beyond our reach. We overcommit because we're uncomfortable with who we are, sometimes becoming addicted to busy schedules. Women typically report relationship-centered stressors, concerns about children, lack of quality time, marriage challenges, while men focus on achievement and status. Jesus praised the widow who gave her last coins with joy, not because she gave everything, but because she gave with the right heart. He valued childlike faith, the ability to believe in possibilities beyond logical explanation. What might change if you replaced misconceptions with accurate understanding? How would your approach differ if you viewed the divine as loving father rather than harsh judge? Many believers operate from scarcity mindsets, giving leftovers, tipping poorly, constantly seeking freebies. Yet Jesus modeled overwhelming abundance. At Cana, he produced 120 to 180 gallons of finest vintage. He restored perfect sight, fed thousands with surplus baskets, and filled Peter's nets until they nearly broke. Even disciples who witnessed these miracles struggled with scarcity thinking. When Jesus spoke of preparing a place for them, Thomas admitted confusion and Philip asked to see the Father. Yet when disciples abandoned him at his arrest, he didn't discard them. He forgave and restored them, powerfully demonstrated through Peter's restoration after his threefold denial. God specializes in using ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. Moses the stutterer became liberator. David, the youngest son, became king. This requires stepping outside ourselves through natural tithing, responding to immediate needs when you see them, giving anonymously when possible, whether paying for a stranger's groceries or leaving unexpectedly generous tips. As Coach John Wooden said, "You can't live a perfect day without doing something for someone who will never be able to repay you." When we choose the right thing over the expedient thing, we become more like Jesus, seeing opportunities rather than obligations. Love alone isn't enough. It must be paired with faithfulness to create lasting impact. Two women in a Tucson park illustrated this: an adoptive mother who opened her heart to another's child, and a birth mother who loved her baby enough to ensure its best future. Both demonstrated love coupled with commitment. Romantic love naturally fades after about 2 years, a biological reality explaining why relationships falter. When the chemical rush subsides, commitment matters more than feelings. Love becomes a decision. Choosing to love even when someone isn't particularly lovable, thinking of another's needs before your own. We exercise faith daily, driving through green lights, trusting cross traffic will stop, showing up for work, expecting payment. Yet only the divine won't ultimately fail us. Jesus exemplified this when Peter denied him 3 times. He didn't discard him, but restored and entrusted him with leadership. Former baseball player Jerry Kindle melted down his championship ring to create jewelry for his wife and children, realizing he needed to share it with those he loved most. This contrasts with Bernie Madoff, who defrauded billions while maintaining a facade, illustrating the difference between appearing good versus living with genuine integrity before one who sees everything. We pray your will be done, yet resist letting go. Like a child hesitating on a diving board, we fear the leap that surrender requires. We cling to what Lehman calls the deception of perfection, believing we must have everything together before approaching the divine. Yet he sees us like a child's imperfect drawing on the refrigerator, not quite together, but infinitely precious. The divine wants all our heart, life, and possessions. This total surrender feels threatening because it requires acknowledging we're not in control. What we need is childlike faith, not questioning existence, but simply trusting character. The paradox? Surrender leads not to loss, but to freedom. When we stop controlling outcomes, we discover peace that transcends understanding. The divine isn't interested in being your number one. He exists on an entirely different plane. He's neither an authoritarian who scares us into submission, nor a permissive vending machine. Rather, he's authoritative, the supreme ruler before whom every knee will bow. What areas are you still clutching tightly? The invitation comes from a loving father who knows that true freedom comes only through relinquishing the burden of being your own God.